Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
This subject is something that I would probably 30 or 40 years ago I would like to get into, but as an older man, it's not as easy. It may be easy for Mr. Rick, but boy, I'm touching a subject that you may at first be a little confused. But hang on, and we'll see whether we can get through a great subject, a theological subject, tonight. What does God think about you and me? And so let's sing some hymns first. Number 587. Just turn back a few pages to 550, and it sings it as well with our with my soul, number 580.
Whatever my life. remain standing for prayer. Father, we're grateful tonight that we can enter into your presence and we're to come boldly to the throne of grace and mercy because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done at the cross. And so as the throne of mercy is open to us, wilt thou look upon us? We are a needy people. Perhaps, Father, we don't know ourselves as we ought to know. Perhaps tonight that The Spirit of God, you may open our hearts to see situations perhaps that we haven't really thought through. And we pray that our Lord Jesus Christ will be pleased and that he'll be honored and that you will encourage us to seek your face and that you'll strengthen us so that we might be stronger children. And so where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Grant us liberty. Grant me the liberty to speak forth the precious word. Grant liberty to hear the precious word also. And at the end, that we might be pleased that you have brought us here together, the singing of the hymns, the expounding of the word, and also a time of fellowship. In the name of Christ, we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. It's Romans 8, verse 1. It is just the start of a verse. And I think it will be traveling through scriptures. I'll go slow enough so you don't have to, you know, think that we're in some kind of race. But it's a good question in the matter of the subject of union with Christ. And we probably ought to ask ourselves, well, just what does the Lord think about me? You ask you that question. We do know the scripture says about the people of God in Romans 8, 1. It's indeed a very precious passage, but it's you just can't wear it out, for it makes it very clear that if we know the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, savingly, that there is therefore now no condemnation. Now that has to do with judgment and condemnation, both. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, and who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And we want to try to deal with that particular subject, what God thinks about us. Some teacher down at Muncie High School would say from time to time, and he'd say to the students down there, you know, there are millions of Chinese that never heard of Muncie, Pennsylvania. If you think that people think about you, probably not that much. So don't get the idea that people really think a lot about us. I don't think people do. We're too busy with our own lives to think about others. Oh, but I doubt very much the neighborhood thinks much about us. I could be wrong, but this matter of thoughts. And I looked up a passage about thoughts of the Lord, and I'm going to get to that eventually, Lord willing. But as Christians, before we even start out with this subject, I've got to say that there is a lot of sin in Christians. And it's done by us. It really is. And so, but yet, I believe that as God looks upon Christians, born-again Christians,
He doesn't see any sins. But as I look at you, I can see sin. You look at me and you say, well, speak for yourself, preacher. I will. You can see sin in me too. You're dying, you're aging and whatever. I see we have evidence of sin. There's parts in our hearts that you can't see. But I tell you, it's just wonderful. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ has made it all possible that when God looks upon me and you who are in Christ, He sees no sin. Hallelujah. That is marvelous. But I want to tell you something. That isn't the end of the story. I wish I could stop there and say, let's go home. Or let's have fellowship. But my Lord has destroyed sin. And He has removed it. And He's taken away the sins of His people. But, you know, with all those sins, our sins laid upon our blessed Lord Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. This is our blessed Lord. He bore them in His own body on the tree. I want you to get that. And when He suffered and bled there, my friends, and He satisfied the wrath of God for us. He took our hell. And so this is a great truth. And He also tells us, He said, your sin, God looks upon you and said, I want to tell you about your sin. Your sin is removed as far as the east, as to the west. Now, if you're a scientist, you figure that out. How far is that? It removed as far as the east is from the west. That's west, that's the east. Man, that's great. And He says, I fell them on my back, and they fell in the sea. That's what God says about these matters. Okay. Then I'm sinless perfection. I'm sinless. I'm perfect up here. Didn't you just say that? God doesn't see sin when He looks on us? Then you must be perfect, preacher. Man, you don't understand theology. You know, the blessed Apostle Paul, he did something that sometimes us fellow preachers haven't learned. He said, I want to give you the theological background before you get the application. Now, I want you to get the idea tonight that when God looks at God's people who are born again, He does not see our sin. And yet we have sin. Is that a paradox? No, not really. There is an explanation for it, and I try not to try to do that tonight. There is a warfare that's going on. A warfare? Sure, in Iraq. I'm not talking about Afghanistan. I'm talking about us. A war within us. Well, perhaps you ought to go to 1 John. Why? Well, you want to find out what a war is going on in the hearts of believers, and this matter of God looks upon us and He sees no sin, but there is something that is real, and we've got to be real about matters. For in 1 John chapter 1, and start at verse 8, to the end of the chapter. Listen, we're not perfect. Perfect, yes, in God's sight, but we're not God. If we say, verse 8 of 1 John 1, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and the truth and His word is not in us. Pretty strong words. There's a warfare that's gone on between the flesh and the spirit. Yes. How wonderful it is to know, though, as you study the Word of God, that we are, as born-again Christians, we're no longer under the domination of sin. Well, if you're not under domination, then why are you sinning? Because of this warfare that's going on in our hearts, in our lives. What warfare? The two natures that we have. They oppose each other. What are these natures? Well, the regenerated nature is the nature of the Spirit of God, but of the flesh, the old nature. And there's a battle going on. So I don't understand it.
God looks upon me and said, he's my son, and in whom I'm well pleased, because we're in Christ and union in Christ. But we look at ourselves and we say, you know, it's just something that grieves my heart to know, and God, I need some help. You say, well, I don't have any problems. I'm concerned for you. Because the Bible definitely teaches this warfare, a spiritual warfare between the old nature and the new nature. If you don't have that warfare and you're upset with your sins, you're in thought, word, or deed, it's a possibility you don't even know the Lord. And I know some of you have been religious a long time. You say, we're speaking to the choir tonight, preachers, so don't go that route. You don't know my heart, and I don't know your heart. I can say, as far as I'm concerned, she's a wonderful Christian. He's a good Christian. But you'd have said that about Judas, too. I mean, Judas was an upright-looking chap, and he's smart and head. He's an accountant, and then he could handle the books and all that, and he was right with it. But how did he turn out with all his religiosity? Not very well. But in Ephesians, if we want to talk about this warfare, come on, get this warfare straight. Because there's some people out running out there and say you'd made a decision for Jesus. You don't have to worry about any of this the preacher's trying to tell you tonight. Just forget it. No, you can't. We can see what God thinks about us, but there is this aspect of the old nature and the sin nature that's still there. I want to talk about this. Ephesians chapter 4. What am I going to there for? Well, I'm talking about this two natures and this old man and this man, the renewal person. Where are we in Ephesians 4? Let's start there at verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. That's the lost. This, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, that is hardness, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation or way of life of the old man. Now there's where we get some theological terms here. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, the old man and the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. There we got them. Don't say that's just something old. Say you got an old nature and a new nature. There it is, the old man and the new man. And I want to tell you about the old man. He never dies. As long as you're in this flesh, dear Christian, the old man's going to be with you until you die. That isn't very good news, but I gave you good news. I said that when God looks upon you, he doesn't see any sin. But I'm telling you, you know and I need to know, we have an old man, we have a new man. And these two are at it. And it'll just tear you up if you don't understand this. As far as I'm concerned, it does anyway. So the old man is no longer going to reign. Absolutely. But he does never surrender. And if you think you're really getting to be a real good Christian because you've been doing so many good things, the old man, he's back in the corner, he says, I'll trip him. It's the old nature hit up by the devil of the old nature. You were converted out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the light of our precious Lord Jesus. Well, sin does dwell in Christians. And it's an active dwelling. It's an active corruption. It's the old nature. He can't destroy us, the old man, but he can certainly disturb us. Boy, it doesn't take much, does it? And the rest of the day you feel miserable because you did something dumb. Maybe you don't do anything dumb. I don't think you're a Christian if you don't do some dumb things because you have the old nature. And your background makes it dumb too. If you think you're a blue blood, you still do dumb things because you have the old man, the old nature. Isn't that so? If it's not, then we just read 1 John. We make our God a liar, and the truth of the word is not in us. Now, don't make God out a liar. And don't say that the truth of the word is not in you. So we do sin. And as much as I don't like to say these things, I have no delight in saying this. We sin constantly as Christians. I don't just speak for myself. I speak for you if you know your heart and the old man. Why, in Ecclesiastes, that passage is so true. If I can just turn there, Ecclesiastes 7, what's so true about it? But he said, this is it. This is it, exactly what it is. And look at chapter 7 and verse 20. You say, well, I don't have this problem. I think that he's just making a big deal about it. Well, let's see what the Word of God says. You have confidence in the Word of God, Ecclesiastes in verse 20. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Well, I know the Lord. That's fine, so do I. But there's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Well, I think I'm making some gain on it. Well, I trust that we do that. If it's any gain, it's because of the fruit of the Spirit. There's where our gain is, the fruit of the Spirit. Not something that you and I are doing. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So God, you see us. I'm grateful for that. That makes me feel good, but I don't feel real good about this matter. Paul, you're a great man of God. We want to turn to somebody we don't talk to some little gink. We want to talk to a big shot. Paul, I'm going to call you a big shot. He said, go ahead. Read Romans and see what you think after you read Romans 7. What do you want us to do? He said, I'm writing to you, and you're living, and he said, I want to tell you how it was with me. And by the way, I'm not making light of the Apostle Paul. No way. But so in Romans 7, he says some things here that, as far as I'm concerned, verse 17 through 20. And probably we ought to just spend a little time there. Verse 17. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. See what I've been talking about? Sin dwelleth in me? He's a Christian. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, that's the old man, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Well, maybe you ought to come to Sovereign Grace Baptist Church and find out, Apostle Paul. He said, no, come on. Don't be silly. This is not a silly thing. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. That's it, Paul. That's it. That's what I'm trying to say, Paul. He said, well, give them my word, the word of God, and maybe they'll get it if they don't get it from you. See, they're not sinless, perfect. No one is sinless, perfect. And they say, I am, they're a liar. They make God out a liar. The truth is not in them. There's some churches around that do teach that, sinless perfection. Yep. Just go ask their wives or their husbands. But they have their own dictionary. It's wonderful. You can make up your own dictionary. What? I heard something. hey, that's not a sin. That's just a little mistake, and we all make mistakes. Don't we all make mistakes? Yeah. David, when he was confessing his sin, he said, it's sin, S-I-N. He didn't say it's a little mistake or a miscalibrium of some sort. He says it's sin. What I did was sin. And by the way, the sin that David committed as a believer is the same sin that unbelievers commit. Adultery and murder is the same sin. Well, you'll not stop sinning. It's not going to be don't try to say, well, we all make mistakes and it was just a slip, that's all. It doesn't make, not my, yeah, it's sin. S-I-N. All of our sins are pardoned. Hallelujah. But sin is still with us. Now we want to talk about sanctification. And well, that's a great subject. So we're not just going to throw in a towel and say, hey, I can't think about it anyway. I'm not being successful. I'm not a leader in the whole matter. Just let's forget it and go home. No. You can't do that either. This matter of sanctification. There are some who have the idea. Now let's see. I think our brother was on it this morning. I've been raised in a church, and I have been catechized, and I have been baptized, and I have attended Sunday school, and I have given to the church, and I try my best, and I'm faithful in everything I've done. And you go on and on. And say, pretty soon, don't you feel like vomiting? Some people go that route. And I'm getting better and better. Well, I'm telling you, there's an ongoing process. But there are some things that we need to talk about before we close the book on this tonight, as far as I'm concerned. Our sanctification is in Christ, and I want to tell you something. It's positionally, it's perfect. What? My sanctification in Christ is positionally, it's perfect, and it's complete. I am sanctified in Christ. The book of Hebrews. That book will tell you, yeah, positionally you are perfect, but I want to tell you something. You got to recognize there's some areas there that you're just sticking your head in the sand if you think you got it all made. Because in this life, while you're here, you're going to have some difficulties. Well, Hebrews 10, I thought I would give you scripture tonight so that the power of the Word of God would take a hold of our hearts and show us this truth. But Hebrews chapter 10, and I want to read a couple of verses there. Let's look at verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. There is our sanctification complete and perfect. It's in Christ Jesus. Think about Christ. It's because of Christ that we are sanctified perfectly. Well, that kind of leaves me off the hook. Hold on, we're not off the hook yet. Look at verse 14. We're not robots. Verse 14, 10th chapter. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Oh boy, I'm encouraged. Hey, that's great. Just stay right there, preacher. Don't leave that. That is lovely, but we got to go on. We're in the flesh. And so all the parts of the new nature, and they should be growing. All the parts. But some of us are old enough to remember when we had children. And boy, oh boy, they're ill, and they take their temperature, and it's going up, it's going up, it's going up. Now that'll tear you apart. And so what do? We do give the cold compresses, and listen to what the doctor says and so forth. And oh, what a delight is when that temperature comes down and they're feeling better. You feel better too, don't you? We're like little children, friends. And we find ourselves at times and say, boy, I wish that I could have some, I wish I could grow up. I wish I could be strong on all these matters. Strong. And we all have some improvements, yes. But it's just not all that easy that we have faith and we have love according to the fruit of the Spirit, and we have hope and we have joy and we have peace. And you say, hey, just keep on going. And I say, yeah, that is wonderful. But there's something about it that they can be disturbed. Peace can be disturbed. You don't have a problem with anxiety, do you? You don't have a problem. Do you have any problems about gentleness? Gentleness of character. Sometimes that's kind of, hey, you got some rough spots to, you know, got some rough areas in your life. Did you know that? Yeah, I know that. Well, you got to be working at these rough areas, asking God to help you. But you will find, though, there'll be times as you think you have the victory, and you'll find you say, "There, I don't know whatever. I thought I had control of that whole matter, and there, I still must have some rough edges about that matter." So there's a work cut out for us. What I'm trying to say is, I'm trying to say that God looks at us and He doesn't see any sin. I'm trying to say to you, but that doesn't mean there's no sin in us. I'm trying to say that God knows all about us. Oh, I got a beautiful verse. I'll get to it presently, but I'll get to it. But the Lord, He just, as far as the God's laws and His justice, He doesn't see any sin in us. It's been taken care of through Christ. Oh, boy. Done. Perfectly and completely. It's through our Lord Jesus. Good. But there comes a time when we can get out of hand. We can get rebellious. Oh, not you. You're an old man. Old men can be some of the worst. And old women. Oh, excuse me, elderly women. I know, I've been around them for years and years. I'm sorry. Wish I could just let that go, but it's true. I've been around them for years. And so Hebrews, you're still in Hebrews, aren't you? Look at the 12th chapter. What do you want to do there? Oh, now just make sure you understand that this 12th chapter of Hebrews a little bit. I start with verse 5. Hebrews 12, verse 5. And I read a few verses. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Now this is from Job. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son that he receiveth. Now then, don't quit. If ye endure chastening, God deal with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, and are not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits, capital letter F, Father of spirits, and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Mm-hmm. Now, verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward,
It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I don't want it. No thanks. No thanks. Maybe your parents didn't take care of you. I made up for yours. I'm telling you, if you're a good father, a good mother, you do chasten the children. Chastisement. I heard a father tell what he had to do. The boy got out of place, and so he took care of that matter. Didn't beat him up now. But he did speak to him and did some things and took him by the ear. You don't have to smack him all. By the ear. There's a space right here. You can just pinch right here, you know, if you want to. You better take him by the ear. They got it squared away. And God's going to do to you, if you think that you've got everything down fine, and you get so heady, and you get so proud, and you get so haughty, and you get so smart, he'll take you down a peg. And you may have to look up. I don't want it. I don't want it for any of you. So you better listen tonight. There's a battle going on. God looks upon him and said, that's my son in whom I'm well pleased. You see that? He said to the Lord Jesus, I'm in Christ. And he doesn't see sin, but we have sin. It's in the old man. The Bible speaks about the old man and the new man. And this battle's going on. Now, which dog are you going to feed? The black one or the white one? Say, well, theologically, that isn't right. What do you mean it's not right? I can feed the old nature. If you don't believe it, go and turn the TV on. He'll find out the old nature will say, well, you know, that's the culture of the day. Bam! Shut that thing down. I can't believe how this old world and this culture is. Well, last night, our president, the Nobel Peace Man Prize winner, you know what he spoke to the largest group of homosexuals and lesbians last night? And he said, we're going to do away with that. I promise you I'm going to do that. What is it? Don't tell, don't ask and don't tell, whatever it is in the service. So the time will come that they won't say, if you find out they're a homosexual, you'll get discharged no longer. When that thing, he said, I'm going to take care of it. And they were pleased. This is where it just blows me away. As an old man, I can't believe what's going on. It seems that every week it's gone further and further down. And we Christians, we're going to have to give an account. You go along with the culture. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Yes. So our sins have been imputed to Christ. Wow, I'm grateful for that. I've got myself kind of worked up. But I have to see it as it is actually, that my sins have been imputed to Christ. Not only it involves that my sins were laid upon him. And he took my punishment. He took my place. And he put away my sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, covers us. Oh, I don't see any blood on you, preacher. What are you trying to say? The blood of Jesus Christ has covered you. Has covered you. I don't see any blood on you either. I don't see any blood on you. But God does. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ, which taketh away the sin of the world. I'm covered with his blood. He paid it all. You say, what does God think about me? Well, I know that if you're in Christ, you've been washed in his blood, and you're wearing a robe. I don't see your robe either. I don't see any crowns on you either. But you have a robe that's been given to you of Christ's righteousness. And God looks upon you. He doesn't see those besetting sins, those things I've been talking about. He sees his son's robe of righteousness. Oh, boy, and he sees his blood of Christ over you and protects you. Oh, give me a verse. Yes, Jeremiah.
Maybe I'll preach on it. I don't know. But Jeremiah. What? Jeremiah 29, and we'll have our time together. Where are we going? Jeremiah! What verse? Well, let's start with verse 1. That's a good place to start, isn't it? Then we'll go on to the... Now, you know, the Israelites are in captivity in Babylon. Yeah, I know about that. Well, all right. Notice verse 1 of Jeremiah 29. Now, these are the words. This is a letter. The words of a letter that Jeremiah, the prophet, sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders, which were carried away captives, and to the priests and to the prophets and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. A letter. I must tell you the context of this. Hey, they were having a rough time. Boy, it was rough. And they had some preachers in verse 20, chapter 28. This one preacher, by, you know, his name is Hananiah. Yeah. Well, what about this preacher? He's told these who were in captivity in Babylon, the Jews. He went to him, he said, well, it came to pass the same year that in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, the Hananiah, the son of Azor, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, he spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of king of Babylon. Within four years, will I bring again unto this place all the vessels of the Lord's house, and blah, 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 blah. False prophet. The true prophet, if you go to the 29th chapter, and we're still talking about Jeremiah, and look at verse 10. What are you going to tell him? Verse 10 of 29th of Jeremiah, he said, for thus saith the Lord, not Hananiah, the false prophet, but here's Jeremiah speaking, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years, Hananiah said it would be 2 years, and the yoke of the king will be broken, and you'll be all right, and everything will be fancy and dancy in 2 years. Jeremiah gets up, he says, it's going to be 70 years. That after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, then this said the Lord said, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. And here's the beautiful verse. I looked this, tried to find particular verses about God's thought toward us, and I came up to found this one. Look at verse 11. He says to them that for 70 years they'll be in captivity, but he says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Listen, now I haven't studied this out thoroughly, but I want to. The Lord is saying in verse 11, he said, now you people are having a miserable time in Babylon. It was a horrible situation. Horrible, horrible, horrible. The slaves, captives. He said, now, he said, it'll be 70 years, says I, because of your rebellion. For verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. What do you think, Lord, about this? He saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm not a scholar in Hebrew, but I can use the concordance, can I? That idea of his thoughts is somewhat like a tangible thing from the Hebrew. Tangible. Thoughts tangible. Thoughts are not tangible. Well, in the Hebrew, it has the idea that he has this tangible thoughts, and he would hold it down like he would, if I may use a picture of humanly speaking, and he would look at this, and he would, oh, once in a while, think about you. No, no, no. It was something that was always there, and he was thinking. He said, my thoughts are always. The idea is He's thinking about you and me if we're in Christ. And he says, well, hey, Robbins, what's good? He's thinking about me. He's thinking about you. He's constantly thinking about us. He said, my thoughts toward you are at peace. Woo-wee. Think you better preach on that, brother. Yes, sir, I like to preach on that. God, I want to know your thoughts towards me. He said, you're in my son, and he's done all this, and you're in Christ. You're united with him. He said, I want to tell you something. I don't care what happens to you. He says, you can go through deep waters, but he said, my thinking towards you is one of peace. And he says, it'll work out for good. It's not for evil. I don't have any evil thoughts concerning you. And he says, you're secure in me. You know, my brother Bob, my earthly brother, he was in security business. And so what? The man who's here this morning, he was in a big way security business. Big. Big, big business. And I thought to myself, well, that's great. I think we ought to get into the Christian security business. Which would you rather have? Huh? You say, well, I'd like to have security. How would you like to have Christian security? That's what I want, through Christ. You can worry about whether they're going to tear down the house and blow the thing up and, oh, man, it's all gone, burn up and so. But to have this peace that passes all understanding here in Christ Jesus. Friends, don't make light of it. You may need to know this message more than you think. I'm not able to say everything's okay. I don't know. Lord, you know. You know about each one of us. You know whether we are in such a place that you look upon and say, that's my beloved son. I love him. He's in Christ. I'm united in Christ. And I don't see sin. I see perfection. I see completeness. And he just thinks about me. And he says, I'm pleased with him. Oh, I know. He's gonna find out that he has to, you know, he has to be obedient. He gets rebellious. I'll take him out to the woodshed. I'll lie him down so he can look up, talk to me. But it's all because he said, not of evil, but for good. All things work together for good. Romans 8:28. Yes, sir. It's going to be for my good. Do you have forgiveness? I talk to myself. Have you come to Christ? Say it again. Have you confessed your sin to God? Say it again. Have you trust him? Can you go home tonight as that publican of old? Remember him? It said he went down to his house. How did he go down to his house? What did it say? Forgiven. You going home tonight? Can you actually say, I'm gone home, gone to my house, and I'm forgiven? There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, to those that are in Christ Jesus. No judgment, no condemnation. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian and to be united with Christ. Do you like that hymn, that last hymn? Will you sing it with me? We have time. Yes, we've got time. We're safe in the arms of Jesus. You're talking about Christian security. What is it? It's 608. Safe in the arms of Jesus.
Gentle breast, there by his mouth.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.